This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Churches and synagogues are holding virtual religious services this year amid the coronavirus outbreak. Archbishop in Miami, Thomas Wensky, says congregations can still be spiritual even if they're virtual.
A priest who can give spiritual counsel is certainly essential, especially when so many people are so anxious this time. But that doesn't mean that we have to congregate big crowds together.
An Indianapolis police officer shot and killed in the line of duty yesterday. 24-year-old officer Brian Leith was responding to an apartment for a domestic violence call when she was shot. A woman inside the apartment also wounded. Police say they have a suspect in custody. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world, one life at a time.
Every year I go in and see my doctor. She says, whatever I'm doing, it's working.
Just had my physical, and the doctor says, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So
my primary doctor, she couldn't get over how much better I was doing. She said she'd never seen anything like it.
My doctor says, keep it up. Whatever you're doing, keep it up.
The doctor said she noticed when she first saw me that I was really progressing better. So I think it might have something to do with the nutrition that I've been getting from you guys.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Americans should start seeing stimulus money soon as the government's returning to every taxpayer who earned less than $75,000 at least $1,200, and many with children will see a few hundred more. There's a legal battle in Kansas pitting the Democratic governor against a GOP-dominated panel of legislative leaders. Governor Laura Kelly filing a lawsuit after that panel overturned her executive order restricting the number of people who can attend religious and funeral services during the coronavirus outbreak.
The actions of the Republican legislative leaders jeopardize both the health and safety of Kansans. We do not have time to play political games during a pandemic.
Kelly asking the state Supreme Court to expedite the case. She's hoping to have a ruling by Easter Sunday morning, which is, of course, traditionally the most attended church service of the year. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Amazon says it's now taking additional steps to try to slow the spread of COVID-19 by building its own lab to test workers for the virus. Officials gathering equipment, hoping to start the screening soon. The tech giant has been criticized over its handling of the pandemic with its employees. Some of them saying there's been a shortage of masks and other protective equipment. More than 60 warehouses have confirmed cases. Most Americans now say they'll probably take a pass on attending any sporting events until a COVID-19 vaccine is developed. A Seton Hall sports poll finds 72% of Americans they surveyed said they would stay home until there is a vaccine. That number drops to 61% by people who describe themselves as sports fans. Among all Americans, 12% said they would be open to attending a game so long as social distancing can be maintained. And Netflix has something coming for viewers who just can't get enough of Tiger King. It's an after show called The Tiger King and I. It's set to debut this Sunday. It'll showcase new interviews with some of the people in the show that's gone viral during the coronavirus pandemic especially. You can find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour in this holy week that we're sharing with Passover and Easter just around the corner. Good to have you with us. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. The Fox News contributor, former top-ranked Wall Street analyst, Liz Peek, joins us now. Liz, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm happy to join you.
Always good to have you here with us. I think America would be happier to get back to work, and we're kind of biting at the bit here, are we not?
I think so. I think there's a growing level of frustration and eagerness to get back to work and sort of dismay that it isn't all clear. I think everybody wants certainty and, you know, for a lot of reasons, Bill, there just isn't any certainty. But it, unfortunately, the lack of that means that everybody's kind of coming up with conspiracy ideas about, you know, why the numbers are so big, why they're not as big as they expected, et cetera. There's a lot more, I feel like there's a lot more tension and dissension right now than there was a couple of weeks ago. And I think that's exactly as you say, people are getting restless. They want to know, you know, what's next? What's coming next, and how soon can we get out the door?
Well, Liz, it's your experience as a top-ranked Wall Street analyst, and I thought about this because I even made the comment a couple of weeks ago that if corporate America missed the numbers, like these scientists have been missing the numbers, they'd be out of a job, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's a reasonable criticism, but you know, what were they telling us? They were telling us, first of all, if we don't do anything, it's going to be horrible. We're going to have hundreds of thousands of people dying. Mm-hmm. And then it was sort of like, okay, with mitigation efforts, here is now what we project. And I think, and those numbers also overshot, as you know, and so we have been ratcheting back, which is, by the way, good news, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The estimate of how many people will die. And I do think that there's some bloat in the numbers. I really haven't had a chance to research this on my own, but it does appear that the government is compensating hospitals for treating coronavirus patients in such a way that they are that they benefit from classifying a death as due to coronavirus.
Exactly.
Even, as somebody said, even if you're in a car accident and you die, but it turns out that you had coronavirus, it is that category that you're put in. And the reason is hospitals had to give up doing all the elective surgeries and things like that that make their, that they make money on. So the government's kind of helping them out. But as a result, maybe the numbers really are overstated. I don't know. I'm not, you know, a clinical physician, but it does seem as though there's some monkey business, if you will. There's some uncertainty anyway about
the human
factor.
It's the human factor, Liz. You know, yeah. You know it as well as I do. People do that which they get rewarded for. If you incentivize the number in a certain direction, and understandably, you know, is saying, look, if the hospitals are going to have to give up elective surgeries, that's a lot of money. Okay, well, right. If that's the case, then we need to come up with a different number for these COVID patients, and a different number also equates to a different payment number. And it's amazing when they broke it down as if they went in, and as soon as you put a ventilator on them, it's the money like tripled, you know, automatically. So it's almost a wonder. I mean, the only thing that's kind of keeping, you know, the ventilator usage down, probably two things. Number one, the lack of the number, although some are saying, look, they've got plenty. But you've got a lack of a number of ventilators. The other thing is that we know that if you go on a ventilator, in New York, for example, only 20% are coming off the ventilator.
Yeah,
in some states, as high as 40, but 20 is about the average, I believe.
They're only putting people on ventilators if they are really, really in bad shape. And I think that's why those survival numbers are pretty terrible. Look, I think we have to kind of take a step back and say, okay, this has been a horrific experience. It has thrown our medical and healthcare facilities and personnel and infrastructure into total disarray, and the economy is just blowing up in front of our eyes. So the point is, what do we do next? And I think the president is very focused on reopening the economy. I think he's right. I think it has to start pretty soon. As you know, in Europe, several countries have begun to go back to work. And I think we have to look at what they're doing and see what is effective. In other words,
exactly.
I think Austria decided that their small shops could reopen, but not big department stores and whatever. I think that makes a lot of sense. If you have a little business and there's one or two people working there, those people can be safe. They can moderate who gets in their shop, you know. I mean, common sense is going to have to dictate some of this. And the only thing I think that sort of, and I think we can roll that out. I would say mid-May we start, or even beginning of May, we start allowing various kinds of businesses to reopen. Not everything's going to come right back. I don't think we're going to have any large-scale gatherings for a long time.
Exactly.
3 or 4 months at least.
And I think regional consideration is appropriate as well.
I agree.
You know, I think New York's going to have a tough time because you're so dense. I mean, population density is so difficult there. And also in some of these smaller areas, you're going to look and say, look, if you're over 65 or 70 and that's your employee, maybe that employee stays at home for a while until we get on the other side of this. But I thought it was quite interesting. I don't know if you caught this article that John Fun with the National Review had written regarding Sweden. And, you know, the question is, did Sweden find the right solution to the coronavirus? I mean, you got Sweden, you've got Norway, you've got Switzerland. Interesting, three, incubators, so to speak, or testing areas. And what has happened? Sweden is the one that they didn't shut down their economy. They, you know, interesting because you hear some of the scientists talking about the herd effect.
Herd, yeah.
Exactly. And how the young people have been able to immunize themselves and really keep the numbers down without shutting down the government. Yes, taking some appropriate social distancing considerations, but not to the degree that we've done here in America with all these different models. Like you say, what's been so debatable is these different models that come. It looks like the IMHE, the Model Institute for Health Metrics, has been foundational metrics and evaluation, I should say. The other one that had some influence early on was the Imperial College study, which is the same people that gave us all the global warming projections, if you remember. So, you know, all these things, in the midst of all the fear, as you say, and the brain damage that this coronavirus has thrust upon our nation and upon the world, I'm going to welcome the time when we can, you know, embrace some peace and calm and really look at this with 2020 vision.
Well, I think we have to. And there's also a case to be made that the damage of people staying home and being shut in over time is going to be perhaps just as bad as the damage done by the coronavirus. If you're 50 years old and you're in decent shape, you know, and not particularly susceptible, you need to go back to work because the incidence of alcoholism and drug abuse and all those kinds of things begins to rise when unemployment goes up, and that's where we are. So, as I said, I think the big frustration now is we don't have any clarity. Landlords who are forgiving their tenants rent for a period of time, they're only going to do that to a point, and they need to know what that point is. So,
Well, look, we've got to go to break. But when we come back, Liz, I want to talk about Congress's reaction to all this. This doesn't help either right now. More from Liz Peek after this. Stay with us.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
Do you have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back? Take the 5-question gut check to see if it could be more than occasional constipation. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess is not a laxative. It works differently. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements.
Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor about whether Linzess is right for you. Go to Linzess.com to take the 5-question gut check. That's Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Do you remember where you were on February 23rd, 1945? A bunch of Marines were lifting a flag on Iwo Jima. The battle lasted 36 days, killing 5,931 Marines. Additionally, 209 Navy corpsmen and surgeons assigned to the Marines died, as well as soldiers, sailors, and airmen from other units. More than 110,000 Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen served, with more than 26,000 killed or wounded. So here's your veteran's tip of the day. As you walk by an American flag, stop for a moment and think of the tens of thousands of soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines who were killed or wounded in those days in February of 1945. You will be better for thinking of them. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Martinez live.
Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Fresh and independent, we are at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. A classic from Keith Green, music for the season, as we are enjoying Passover, and it is Good Friday. And as you will, you know, we'll go down memory lane. We're pulling one out of the archives, bringing back Dr. Tony Campolo and his rendition of It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming. And Liz Peek, in a lot of ways, this is appropriate. You know, where we are right now in this country and dealing with COVID-19, that for many, you know, we thought, well, it is Friday. I mean, we're losing this battle. What are we going to do? We're talking 200,000 Americans dying as a result of this virus. The models and what has been, you know, told to us and how fearful America has become. It is amazing, but we want people to be encouraged that it looks like, you know, even based on these revised models that keep getting revised quite rapidly by Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx.
And all the hysterical media coverage, and I say that with some understanding that this has obviously been the only story for the last month. And there was a lot of scary stuff going on. I mean, in New York, obviously, people were very concerned that the hospitals were going to be overwhelmed, et cetera. Here's the good news. It didn't happen. And I don't think it's going to happen anyplace else. And so all the, you know, I think at some point, you have to kind of say, okay, who is going to be alarmed at seeing less hysteria? Andrew Cuomo, as an example. Andrew Cuomo has now a national figure. He never was before, although he always aspired to be a consideration for president. People are literally talking about him as, oh, a write-in instead of Joe Biden. That's not going to happen. But Andrew Cuomo is on a big stage right now, and is he going to give it up voluntarily? I don't know. I mean, you know, I really can't imagine him coming out next week and saying, you know what, guys? We're over the hump, and New York's going to get better, and I'm going to cease, you know, talking to you because my job is done here. I don't see that happening. I think a lot of people are going to continue to have, you know, kind of a big role in furthering this. It isn't a narrative. It is a real story, but I do think that the tendency has been to hype it. Particularly if you read the headlines this morning, it's all about how Trump is going to try and put us back to work. Somebody yesterday was James Carville was talking about, you know, Republicans are so they're so intent on business and stock markets, they're going to kill people. I mean, it's really it's really sick out there, you know.
Yeah, it really is. The hyperbole has gotten out of hand, but that's what happens. I mean, there was even a video. I don't know if you saw the one nurse claiming that she was told not to wear a mask, and you know, it was out of control there in New York and everything. Then you find out later. I mean, this was run by CBS. They ran it. And then they had to walk it back because then they found out that this gal who was called back to work and she had mental issues. But this is how desperate they've become, is they're bringing people back into the medical profession who have mental problems.
Yeah, that's great.
It's like, this is crazy.
I wrote a story this week for The Hill about what I consider to be the most completely stupid thing that has gone on during this entire episode, and that is the absolute determination on the left to deny that hydroxychloroquine could be part of the solution. Because Trump liked it and talked about it, they immediately decided it was valueless. And I was on a conference call yesterday with Steve Moore and Art Laffer and also a very senior doctor saying one of the reasons, folks, that the curve is better than expected, that the number of deaths is better than expected, is guess what? Hydroxychloroquine. He said all the doctors I know are taking it prophylactically. It is no doubt the case. For example, one doctor he cited had 800 lupus patients. Lupus patients take hydroxychloroquine as a therapy. None of them has gotten this virus. So, I mean, I just, my head explodes with the idea that the left so hates Donald Trump that they are hoping against hope that
exactly
anti-malarial drug might have some impact on treating patients. It's so stupid, I can't believe it. I mean, well, anyway.
They were cheering against our economy before this, so
yeah, I know.
No big surprise, right?
What is wrong with these people? Isn't it astonishing?
It's stupid, Liz. I mean, if my father heard me say that word, he would slap me across because he hated that word. But it's you know, stupid.
But it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's no other word for it, because just for the sake of ego, and you talk about flattening the curve that we, you know, that is, you know, we keep, oh, you got to flatten the curve. But the other curve that needs to be flattened is the ego that's out there, right?
So true. So true. It's very discouraging. But anyway, look, I think that there are some therapies that are working for people. Hydroxychloroquine, apparently, if you are not desperately ill and you are put on that, and sometimes they use, as you know, a combination of that and a Z-Pak.
Zinc or a Z-Pak, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does appear to be helping. There are other, I think there's something like 52 other drugs in trial right now. Big trials going on, by the way, with hydroxychloroquine. And I think if it proves effective, that will go a long way towards allowing the government to reopen. Because if you know that you can go back to work and, yeah, okay, you get sick, but there is a treatment that's going to prevent you from dying, I think then, you know, you really have a workforce much more eager to go back. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that has to happen, Bill, is that businesses have to be indemnified in some way, so that if you reopen your shop and you have two employees and one of them gets sick, she can't sue you for having been careless.
Yes,
someone's
exactly.
going to have to protect small business and big business owners against those lawsuits, because no one is going to have, I mean, that could just tie up our courts for the next 20 years.
Yeah, as if it doesn't have already enough to be tied up over anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Liz, as you say, the, you know, the hope of us getting back to work is encouraging to people. And I believe that, you know, I think you and I talked off the air, that Donald Trump has proven to be more right, even aspirationally, by saying maybe by Easter. He might be right, but it's just going to be a tough deal because of ego, because of the hatred of Donald Trump, you know, to really be able to discern reality and the truth here, because everything is so anti-Trump.
You know, there's just an awful lot of people and institutions that want him to fail. And that, you know, that makes me sad, because, look, I'm pretty conversant with his faults. But the truth is, he's done a very good job of approaching a lot of challenges that this country has in a very open and direct way that no other president has ever done. And I tell you, the number one thing that comes out of this episode is that we cannot and should never again trust China.
Amen.
And for past leaders of this country to have allowed, really allowed and encouraged our business community, who also have some responsibility here, for moving so much of their manufacturing and business to China, knowing, and they all knew, let me tell you, I've covered this for 15 years. They knew that they were dealing with dishonest people who stole their patents and their intellectual property, and yet they all went ahead and did it. It was sort of like, you know, they were so desperate to have access to the Chinese market, which they saw rightly as sort of the next big wave of middle class arrival, if you will, that they put up with it. But I tell you what, it endangered our nation.
Exactly.
And no one ever stood up and said enough. And now we all look around, and another thing I wrote recently was our dependence on, this is a few weeks ago, China and India for medications. It's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. And if Congress comes out of this without any ideas about this, and all they continue to do is investigate the president, I tell you what, I think Democrats are going to rue the day they launch another investigation into President Trump. It hasn't worked for them in the past. They've done it twice. Neither time has it worked. It's not going to work this time either.
Well, the threat is Nancy Pelosi is claiming another potential road to impeachment.
Yeah.
This is absolutely absurd. Liz Peek, as always, we appreciate the time. Great work with Fox and great work here. We appreciate it. So you take care. Be safe. Stay healthy. You take care.
Take care, and a happy Easter to you and your family.
Happy Easter. You got it. Back at you.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg, founder and CEO of Facebook, announced the launch of Facebook's COVID-19 Information Center to ensure people get access to information from trusted health sources. The Information Center includes real-time updates from national health authorities and global organizations, as well as helpful articles, videos, and posts about social distancing and preventing the spread of COVID-19. In addition, Facebook is matching $20 million in donations to support COVID-19 relief efforts while giving the World Health Organization free ads. KX Jin is head of health at Facebook.
We have been working with health authorities since the WHO declared COVID-19 a public health emergency in late January. Our priority has and continues to be focused on helping people stay informed with credible health information from the experts, as well as combating misinformation.
For more, visit Facebook.com. That's www.facebook.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The latest on the coronavirus in the United States from the White House. President Trump says,
hopefully we're going to be opening up. We can call it opening very, 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 very soon, I hope.
Correspondent Robin Walensky has more.
President Trump talking about the U.S. economy during the daily White House coronavirus briefing.
Well, I think the economy is going to do very well. Now, that's just my feeling.
And President Trump updating us on the health of the British Prime Minister.
Boris Johnson, Prime Minister, has been moved out of intensive care. That's a tremendous statement. That's a very, very positive development.
Shining a light on healthcare heroes fighting the pandemic. Landmarks across the nation will take part in a Lighted Blue event tonight. One way to show gratitude for essential workers dedicated to fighting coronavirus. And this is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
America. Bill Martinez here, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and Dan Crenshaw joins us now, who served as a Navy SEAL for a decade, achieving the rank of Lieutenant Commander after being wounded in the Helmand province of Afghanistan in 2012. He lost his right eye, required surgery to save the vision in his left. He earned two Bronze Star medals, one with Valor, the Purple Heart, and the Navy Commandant Medal with Valor. I should say Navy Commendation Medal with Honor. With Valor, retiring from the military in 2016, Crenshaw earned a Master of Public Administration from Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government in 2017, was elected to the United States House of Representatives in November 2018, where he represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas. Congressman, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, and congratulations on the book just released, Fortitude. American Resilience in the Era of Outrage. If you know anything, I mean, as a Navy SEAL and all that you've gone through on behalf of our country, we honor you, Congressman, for fighting the good fight. And, you know, again, I just am reminded about, you know, the strength and power of fortitude and what that means. What does fortitude mean for you?
Well, it means the same as the technical definition. It's resilience to adversity and, you know, the ability to overcome. And this book is an instruction manual for that. I think a lot of people, they see my face on a book and they're like, okay, well, it's a politician, he's a SEAL, he wrote an autobiography. Mm-hmm. That's not what this book is. Obviously my story is intertwined throughout it, so you will learn things you've never heard before about me. But fundamentally, this is a little bit more like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life, mixed with Jocko Willink's Extreme Ownership. So there's every chapter is a lesson in mental toughness. And because there's been plenty written on outrage culture, there's been plenty written on the coddling of American culture, this sort of microaggression obsession that we have, this obsession with being offended by everything, our need to mob people online and you know, make them pay for their for their transgressions. And I didn't want to write about just the problem. Again, better authors than me have dissected that in detail. This is a solution to it. This is how to overcome it. Mm. And it's not just outrage culture. You know, we're in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis, right. And I wrote this well before there was a COVID-19 crisis. But I could easily do a second edition on analyzing how we've reacted and how these lessons apply to today's issues.
In your book, what I drew out of it was something that happened stanchially. I was doing a presentation for a tea party here in Florida, and what I was able to discern and take away from President Trump is his consistency to stand in the truth, no matter what. And fortitude anchors you in that truth. Whatever that belief is, you're an immovable force, and that drives the non-sustainers nuts. The cancel culture and those that are, you know, hitting and running, you know, about our culture right now, they go crazy when they see that somebody knows that they know that no matter what, Dan Crenshaw believes in certain values and he holds to that, and he's going to keep on standing and sitting in that position. I see that the same with this president. I see it with others. And for me, this was a huge reminder and reinforcement of what I've been able to see more recently. And that is that if we sit and stand in the truth, we are an immovable force, are we not?
I think that's right. One thing I talk about in the book quite a bit is the essence of moral truth. You know, I go into some pretty deep discussions here. These aren't shallow lessons, you know, which you might hear from motivational speakers, like, and maybe your typical SEAL book of, like, if you want to be hard, just be harder. If you want to be strong, lift more weight, get up early. Like, that's all true. But I go into a much deeper discussion. And one point I do talk about absolute truth and the need to understand right and from wrong. And one of the problems our culture faces is we've redefined those things. We've redefined what is good and bad. And, you know, there's a reason as conservatives that we rely on a transcendent authority, God, to tell us what's right and wrong. Because our human mind is capable of imagining entire new orders of morality. And that's a really dangerous thing. And, like, we know what happens, actually, when that happens. It's the 20th century. It's the bloodiest century in human history, where the worst atrocities in the history of mankind were committed in the 20th century. Right. And that's what happens when you move away from God. And so I do talk about that quite a bit, and the need to feel shame. Right? There's an entire chapter on the right sense of shame and how we need to feel bad about things, even small things, if we are going to learn how to be better and to be stronger. And I mean small things, like, did you put your shopping cart away, or did you leave it in a parking spot? Are you that guy who left the shopping cart in the parking spot? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's such a funny, like, small thing. But, like, it matters, because if you're willing to do that, like, what else are you willing to do? It's a slippery slope. And so this book is really about very much the small things and how to be a better, stronger person.
Well, there was an admiral at a commencement speech, if you recall, not that long ago. He said the first thing you could do every day is just make your bed.
100%.
To your point.
Yeah, and I reference him in this book as well. I mean, what's interesting about being a SEAL is we learn all of this stuff, and we read about it in each other's books, and I'm like, I don't even need to read this. And I'll read Jocko's book, and I'm like, well, all of this seems painfully obvious. It doesn't, but what I realize is that other people have never heard this stuff. And so it's a real interesting journey and challenge to translate everything that we've learned into lessons that people can understand. Because in the SEAL teams, we don't necessarily articulate these lessons. There's not like a PowerPoint where we articulate all of these things. We just do it, and we learn it by fire. Mm-hmm. And then and those of us who write about it later have to kind of figure it out. We have to, like, do some soul searching and figure out what it is we're actually trying to teach.
Well, doesn't it come down to some common sense at the end of the day? And maybe
100%.
That's why. I mean,
I say this throughout the book too. I'm like, you know, we need to rely on lessons that are old. If people have been reading Marcus Aurelius for 2,000 years, there's a good chance that there's actually something to that. If people have been relying on the Bible for thousands of years, then there's a good chance that there's some actual wisdom in there. And so, I could distill some of the lessons in my book to lessons you intuitively should know. You know, and for people who study psychology, this should strike them as true. I love psychology. I love the academic literature of psychology because it's often telling you what you already know. It's just putting it into smart people terms. And I think that's a really cool thing when if you're into psychology. So
yes.
I reference a lot of psychological literature in here because what I find is your intuition is right, and it is backed up by the literature. It's backed up by history. It's backed up by the Bible. It's backed up by philosophy. Like there are real truths that we can live by, like personal accountability, personal responsibility being a good thing is a truth. Mm-hmm. And these kind of things are being upended in our modern kind of, or our postmodern society, you know, and we've got to fight back against that. Like there's a reason, and this is a deeper reason for conservatism, you know, on a deeper cultural level. This is what I tell conservatives. You're right for a lot more reasons than just your tax policy.
Yes.
Okay. That tax policy actually comes from somewhere much, much deeper. And we have to be talking about our foundational beliefs in a much deeper way, and we've forgotten how to do that. That's the truth. We've forgotten how to do that as conservatives. We start rallying, you know, we rely on slogans instead of foundations.
Exactly.
And we have to be better than that. As conservatives, we have to be better than that.
Without a doubt. Well, and this is why this invalidation culture, this cancel culture that's been running, as a drive-by hit force and disqualifying everybody is hurting the process. But people with fortitude that know that they know and can hold on the truth and sit in the truth. It is so important these days because even like you say, from a psychological standpoint, when President Trump brought up the fact that, you know, marriages would be impacted, families would be impacted because of this coronavirus, that suicide rate would increase, all these, you know, social things that would be affected with people sheltering in place was not a good thing. It was interesting. You know, Congressman, is that I watched the faces of the mainstream media, and it was like crickets. I mean, they had no clue that this kind of virus could have this kind of biological effect on America.
Yeah, well, do you mean in the sense of the socioeconomic the issues with the social distancing and everything? Yeah,
well,
I mean,
it's I'll tell you what,
it's devastating.
We've got to go to break. We've got more from the congressman after this. Stay with us.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier, too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway? Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, Al, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
In the silence of the mountains and the crashing of...
Back with you, America. Bill Martinez here in our conversation with Congressman Dan Crenshaw, United States Representative and former Navy SEAL. We're talking about his brand new book, Fortitude, America's Resilience in the Era of Outrage. And we were talking about the psychological impact that people staying at home would have. It was quite devastating. It's quite devastating. I mean, people are having a hard time with it. The president did, as I mentioned, say, look, it, we got to be careful because divorce rate's going to go up, suicide rate, all this, all these ramifications could come into play with a society doing something that is not natural. What's natural is for us to go out and work and be productive. And that was clearly demonstrated when the president was elected and he took the boot of Regulation Nation off the throats of productive people. And look what happened to the unemployment rate.
Yeah, no, that's right. And we have to be talking about that balance. You know, here's the way I put it. We had to go into a tactical retreat. So this is a military term. Mm-hmm. We were confronted by this virus. It shot us off the target, and we had to retreat behind some piece of cover, get our wits about us, call in some air support, and figure it out. The thing is, we can't keep retreating. So the retreat now is basically this risk containment strategy of sheltering in place and shutting down our economy. It makes sense, but it has to be applied to a timeline, and we have to stick to that timeline. You can't just keep saying we're going to reevaluate.
Right.
You can't keep saying that. Like there are other public health consequences to what's happening with the economy, with suicides. This infuriates me. This broad notion that we can't do any other procedures in America, and medically speaking, while this is going on, is not a good. That's not a good policy. I'm becoming much more against this as I talk to my doctors here in Houston. They got 50% vacancy in these hospitals. We got nurses coming in doing nothing because we just don't have near the number of cases in Houston we do around the country. Mm-hmm. We're quite blessed, and it's good because maybe we got ahead of it early and we shook things down early, and so you know that's great.
Right,
but people are putting off these really important procedures. And who are you to say what's optional and what isn't? You know, that becomes a very, that's a lot of gray area.
Right.
And a lot of doctors, small practices are going under because they can't make any money. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why can't we go to work? Why can't we go to work? So we've got to ramp up our testing rapidly. Look, we paused the economy, but we have to explain to people why we did it. We did it to allow our public health system to catch up to the problem, to allow our supply chain to catch up to the problem. And that is rapidly happening. All right, where we are behind in is testing. Is blood testing for antibodies. We need to ramp that up into the millions. There has to be industrial policy where we focus, laser focus on this, so that in 30 days, when the president says 30 days to slow the spread, fine. I'm with you, but we have to boldly say that's the end point. That's the end point, and then we're going to actually come out of hiding and fight. And we're going to continue on with the mission, which is to live our lives, and we're going to fight the pandemic alongside it with all of the new knowledge and supplies that we have garnered in the meantime.
Congressman, you know, you say a timeline, but can't there be a regional perspective and consideration on this as well?
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
It needs to be. I thank God the president is resisting that, and even Fauci, I think, he resists that notion. And the media is just obsessed with this because the left loves the idea of the president shutting things down. Even when it's Trump, they love the idea. Like, it's kind of mind-blowing to me. But they love this idea of centralized control. They're furious that in Wyoming they're just not shutting things down. It's like, dude, there's 6 million people in Wyoming.
Right.
They're
already social distanced, right?
People are dealing with this differently. Right. Houston is the fourth largest city in America, but it is nothing. As far as density goes, it is nothing like New York City, and it never will be. We don't ride subways here. We're not stuck in elevators crammed into every building we go into. Like, we have ways to live our lives and social distance, and I watch the numbers very carefully in Houston. There are, of course, new cases every day, but they're not exponentially increasing. In fact, today, since yesterday, we had less cases than we had the day before. And so, you know, again, that's only one day of data. We need to see a week or two. But we need to be carefully watching this and thinking, all right, let's start to move into risk mitigation strategies. We can still go to work, wear masks, right. Don't touch each other, stay in your offices, but, like, let's get some work done.
Exactly. And this is where, you know, in terms of the psychological impact, as we realized after the Obama years, I mean, look at the grief to happiness ratio that occurred, Congressman. Once President Obama had finished up his administration, his two cycles, and unemployment rates were just a disaster, Trump comes in, takes Regulation Nation's boot off the throat of Americans. They go back to work, and they're elated. They are happy again. This is what the positive ramifications that it will have on the psychology, and the president gets that, and he may just have to be, you know, the lone voice in the desert, maybe you and me alongside yelling and screaming, this is what we need to do. But there needs to be, like all timelines, there needs to be something definitive. And just like he made the decision to stop those planes from coming in for China, and everybody disagreed, he had a lot of bounce back and resistance on that, but he said no, this is the right thing to do. And even Dr. Fauci had to relent, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just did a podcast with a professor from Harvard. I haven't released the podcast yet. It'll be out tomorrow. But Harvard put together this long white paper on three different options, one being freeze in place, the second being this kind of mobilizing transition strategy, and the third being basically surrender, go back to normal, but, you know, let the pandemic kill people.
Right.
Now, they want the second one. They make a case for the second option, which is basically what I've been describing.
Exactly.
Listen, right. we take a tactical pause, and, you know, it's good that we're sheltering in place for a period of time. But now, I think in the Harvard study, they say it should be out until June. I'm not so sure about that. But it largely depends on our ability to ramp up testing and ramp up production of ventilators and PPE. And frankly, we've been ramping those things up rapidly. You know, at the minimum, we're creating 5,000 to 7,000 new ventilators a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a very good chance that we're going to be on top of that. And so there's a way to do this, is the point. You know, it's going to take collective action, but it doesn't necessarily, it is not the case that we need to keep locking people down indefinitely. That's just not sustainable. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, the economic package that we passed was designed to sustain the economy for 8 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
It really can't go far beyond that, and we can't afford another $2 trillion package. We just can't.
I agree.
I mean, our bond markets, the dollar will be substituted. This is not the way to do things. So we have to start fighting this thing head on.
Exactly. Well, the other thing that we need to keep in mind, and I've been saying on this show, Congressman, that we the people, each individual, we're the first line of defense. If we're doing the right things and protecting ourselves, we will protect our neighbors, our families.
Right.
It goes from that point. It's just like you said earlier.
There's an element of personal responsibility here and duty. Chapter 7 in my book is called A Sense of Duty. And what I talk about in that chapter is, because the chapter before that was A Sense of Shame. So I talk about what it feels like to do the wrong thing. And once you understand what the wrong thing is, you understand what the right thing is. So what's the wrong thing as it pertains to coronavirus? Well, the wrong thing is maybe going to spring break and saying, I don't care if I get the Rona.
Right.
Okay? That's the wrong thing. You should feel a sense of shame for that. The right thing to do is to do what we're doing now and do the small things correctly. And if we all live with that sense of duty, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to interact with this person, but I'm going to keep a much larger distance than I normally would. It's going to be a little bit more uncomfortable. I'll wear a mask so that if I happen to cough or if they cough, we won't be near each other. I'm going to not touch anything. But there's ways to mitigate this. I'm going to make sure I wash my hands no matter what. I'm going to continue running my business, but I'm going to adapt it in a way where you can do it remotely or just change the way we do things. Maybe I'm going to go deliver food to seniors. There's
exactly.
So many ways that we can all come together and accomplish small missions that achieve the larger mission of getting America back on its feet.
Well, and you wrote about it in echoing JFK's powerful call to action.
Yeah. JFK, that's exactly right. And we are, why I was reminded of that? Because I saw AOC on her Instagram Live. What is the main message coming from progressives like her? It's always, ask what your government can do for you. They owe you. You are a victim and only the government can save you. Like, that's the message. And not only is that wrong, it's immoral.
Mm-hmm.
It's disempowering. You are removing people's capacity to do anything for themselves. That is the worst thing you can do to somebody. So
exactly.
It's truly malevolent. Like it's far from just being wrong. It's malevolent, and I mean that in a really deep way.
Mm-hmm.
And like we have to push back against that. Again, when I say why are conservatives right? Conservatives are right because we understand these really timeless, important principles, and we have to explain that better. Like personal responsibility and accountability, and controlling your own destiny. That's a really important cultural foundation. It's only conservatives that actually stand up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to talk about why it's so important, because if you don't stand by that, you remove people's agency to deal with things themselves. And this is really one of those times where you have to be thinking, you should almost feel a sense of shame when you're like, you can't contribute. And you know what? Here's my belief. Most Americans feel that way. Most Americans are like this, this way that I am describing. Like, most people are at home thinking, I just want to contribute. I really want to contribute right now. I'm not sure how. But then they kind of figure it out and they'll find a way. I argue liberal, conservative, most people are like that. But the loudest people in the media and progressives like AOC are the opposite of that. And like, that's why I wrote this book, because they are so loud and they're controlling the cultural narrative, even though I do not believe Americans are actually that way.
Well, Congressman Dan Crenshaw has been our guest, United States Representative out of Texas, former Navy SEAL, the title of the new book, Fortitude, American Resilience in the Era of Outrage. It is available in all the usual places, and it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Congressman, an honor to have you on the show. Appreciate the time. You take care. God bless.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's